Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, how does that part work for now? Oops, did I stay down in the air? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself, the man who's working the boards, who's having a hell of a bad time right now. So please spare me and forgive me if anything goes wrong, as it should be, because I have the one who's jinxed me, who's a curse to me, that I need to get rid of, but he's a Dallas Cowboys number one fan all of a sudden. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sean Black.
I've put a pox upon you. Sean Black.
I guess you did. I guess you did. You
know?
I don't know what. Listen, tell the three listeners out there, just bear with us, please. Hopefully something goes right tonight. But besides that.
This is one of those things where you would actually say that there is technical difficulties. So please stand by.
Yes. Or maybe ladies who's watching this from above, like, you know what? I'm tired of the hot rod speaking about this.
Topics.
I'm drained. Hang up.
Yes.
Hang up. Too late, too. As always, we miss you. And you know the number, guys, if it works, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, God willing, are you ready to piss some people off?
Yes. Technical difficulties withstanding, let's try it.
Viewers, please stand by. Well, besides that, it's funny, as always, Sean Black and I, we talk every day about cricket, about the magic that goes on in this world. As always, we have our list of topics, and Sean Black always tell me, I wait till Monday morning to give you the description and the final details. Because why? As we say in this business, anything can happen in the blink of an eye.
This morning,
in case you have not heard, unfortunately, sad news, that Colin Powell, the first black African Secretary of State, back in what, 1990s, I believe?
Oh. Yes.
Early 90s. Had passed away, as I touched on Black this morning, from COVID. So I met him a couple of times in my past. Very nice guy, down to earth. You know, made me forget about, even though he was a Republican, it made me forget about the party at that time. But now if you tell someone you're a Republican or Democrat, you're ready to get your head cut off by the other party member, because God forbid. But, Sean Black, before you get into it, this is, I have two yes or no questions. Did Colin Kaepernick, did Colin Powell pass away from complications of COVID?
Well, I believe he was sick in the hospital at Walter Reed, I believe it was on Thursday or Friday. For those that are looking for wondering what's been going on and why this is such a big story, outside of who he was, the fact that he died of COVID, even though he was double vaccinated and was in the process before he got sick of getting his booster shot. One thing that we've talked about before in the past is the fact that if you have COVID, or you are in the risk factors of having COVID or getting COVID, the one thing that you are in the bullseye of is that if you are having any of those underlying conditions, African-American, if you are, you've had cancer treatments, you have cancer, a suppressed immune, if you have immunocompromised system, if you've had any kinds of diabetes, anything along those lines, you are in a higher risk of contracting COVID. And if you do get it, it will probably be very, very harmful to you, much more so at an accelerated rate. And looking at Colin Powell, he actually battled multiple myeloma, which is a blood cancer, which is something that he had, which nobody knew about or talked about. For obvious reasons, you know, it was his personal health. He wasn't speaking of that along those lines. So, yes, he did have he was fighting cancer. He was dealing with that. And also, when you're looking at it from that standpoint of having that and having COVID, you basically have a whammy against you when it comes to COVID. So you can have a breakthrough case, and if you have any kind of underlying conditions, that could actually work against you. And plus, he was 84 years old, so he had that against him as well.
It's just a number. It has nothing to do with this. John Black.
Of course.
As you, like I told you this morning, get ready for it. And my second question was, even though he was double vaccinated, Sean Black, he was double vaccinated. If he's double vaccinated, how he got the COVID and, worst of all, passed away from the COVID? Even though you did just answer that question, but please, once again, Sean Black, the vaccine was supposed to help stop the spread of COVID. What happened, Sean Black?
I'll tell you what happened.
You know that before you saw that, you know the anti-vaxxers, they was waiting for a moment like this, as we discussed this morning. And you know the
exactly.
And you know, I didn't bother with you today with this. Well, I saw the posts on social media. I'm like, you know what? I cannot be mad because I'm not shocked. I expected it, but I'm sorry. Carry on.
Yeah, and I know that we are in a polarized situation in an area that really should not be as polarized as it is. Knowing what we've known over the last 18, 19 months, going into what we went through all of last year before we even had a vaccine, knowing all of the things that have gone on with a lot of the misinformation that has gone on through certain parts of the media, people that are within certain media aspects, some people that are political or politically inclined and have something to gain by spreading that misinformation, and a lot of misinformation on social media, those that are for getting the vaccine are going to look at this and say, well, this is one of the reasons why you should get vaccinated. Those that are anti-vaxxers are going to look at that and bring up the exact same thing you just said. Well, he was double vaccinated. You know, what are you going to do? As I just stated before, you had blood cancer, which means any kind of immunocompromised system is going to take COVID or any kind of disease and is going to do much more harm even with that vaccination there. Also, lots of people that have immunocompromised systems are also going to be more susceptible to getting other illnesses, other sicknesses, the flu. Catching colds can be damaging to you. Heart disease, a lot of other diseases and germs and bacteria and infections that are privy to people of that nature as well. But like I said also, going through this, his age did not help either. So,
but how dare you say something like that? We have young people who die from COVID who are vaccinated. People who are older that have been vaccinated are still living. How can you say that age is part of the factor in this? How dare you say that?
Well, I say that because, well, those are facts. I guess there are a lot of people that are going to find information for those. There are going to be people out there. We've had this discussion before. There are going to be people that are going to either way be on certain side of the fence when it comes to informing themselves, finding out what's going to work for them. The only thing that I will say is we know what's been going on. We know there's over 700,000 people dead from this deadly virus. We know that there are many, many people that are infected. We also know that the Delta variant of this virus has been ravaging not only the country but the world. We're starting to see a little bit of a tamping down of the Delta variant infections, although there are still lots and lots of people that are dying. Maybe this is kind of like that spike, and then we start to see it plateau, and then it starts to dip a little bit. That's what it seems like we're starting to see.
True, but what is, we say dip now. As I said earlier, what's around the corner, Sean Black? The holiday.
Oh, we know what's around the corner.
Guarantee, once people start flying, which by every right, they should go see their families and friends and get together. By every given rights, I'm not saying no. But of course, you know, play safe, but what do I know? But once the holidays begin, guarantee there will be another surge.
And that's usually surge. When the spikes happen. That's usually around those times when those spikes happen. We had one in the summer when around shortly before Memorial Day, there was a small spike. Then we had the July the 4th, and then we had that spike, and that's when we started to see everything start in June, start to really ramp up. And this is kind of where we are right now in the middle of October. And for those that think that it's a crazy conspiracy of what's going on or whatever is the case, before, not even talk about just from this year, before we had the vaccine here, we had like 300 or almost 400,000 people pass away from this virus. And this was before the vaccine was readily available. So with a lot of that happening, and we have now the technology to be able to help people out, we have the medicine, the vaccine is out there. For those that want to do the research for themselves, I guess, to find out what's right for them, as long as you are not allergic to the ingredients of the vaccine, as long as you know that you are, if you're immunocompromised or you certain things preclude you from taking the vaccine, or you're under the age where you can get vaccinated, it will do more help to the community as a whole to probably look into getting that vaccine when you can. Like I said, if you're going to do your research and look up whatever you need to do, do what works for you. But at the same time, we know what will happen if we don't have more people vaccinated going forward.
And talking about surge in my blood pressure, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Brother B. Brother B.
Greetings and salutations.
Greetings and salutations.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Yes. With the COVID power passing this morning from the complications of COVID, once again, you have the anti-vaxxer said, so you see, it doesn't work. What are your takes about the anti-vaxxers now arguing against this case?
Rest in peace to the dude. I really don't care. I'm sorry. I just don't. To me, it's just become a distraction and a moot point. Like, no matter how much you bring about one point on one side, something else is going to happen on the other side. So it's like, what the hell are you going to do about it? Either you take the shot or you don't. If you either you live or you die. Like, not to come across rash, but it is what it is, man.
There's nothing
you can really do. You know what I'm saying? It's all about survival of the fittest at this point. And if you don't take your survival seriously, then don't expect me to take it.
And you know what? It's sad. I agree with you 100%, but it's sad it has to come to something like that. And it's sad to what Shana said earlier, you know, and it comes down to this. Like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. We have family,
exactly.
We have friends, we have loved ones, we have coworkers. We have two different mindsets of it. And I told Sean about this all the time. You see these people, you know, they're wearing their mask going outside, but they go to the club with a jam-packed with 100 people. Like, and I show Sean, like, these pictures and videos all the time. Like, does this make sense to me? You're trying to be careful. We're trying to live your life, but at the same time, these are the same ones that tell me I'm not going to take the vaccine. Okay,
well,
cool.
I'm not your brother's keeper.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I mean, just like what you just said, to add to what you just said, All right, you go to a restaurant. You only want vaccinated people in the restaurant. You're trying to tell me that somebody vaccinated could probably not have it? Like, of course they can still have COVID. And they can give it to somebody that's vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what are you really accomplishing? Like you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of the ignorance. Like, stop being assholes about it. You can get it whether you have it or not. And if you notice the statement, they made sure that they said, and the family said he was fully vaccinated. They made sure they didn't have to say that. They could have just left that part out. But no, they wanted it to be known that he was fully vaccinated. So now what? So, yeah, the anti-vaxxers have a point to prove. But then at the same time, the people that are pro-vaccination feel that they have something to prove as well. I don't know, and at this point, I don't care. It's just that I'm tired of the ignorance, tired of bickering, and I'm just – it's just tiring, yo. Like, either you're going to come to some smart conclusions and do something logical or just shut the hell up.
It's funny they say that, Brother B, but I bring up to my next topic, basketball player for Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving. He has been one of the few NBA players in the league right now who are unvaccinated and speak about that being anti-vax. But the way he's talking about it, why is he a central point in the media? Because he's black, he's a high power, you know, he has a high voice, and he talks a lot of crap. He's like Sean said, he's a headache. But Sean, why is Kyrie Irving is against the vaccine, and why is it a headache right now in the media world?
The reason why, at least in my eyes, that I think a lot of people look at him as a headache is because he...
I am
not going to dump on him as a person because I genuinely think things that I've seen, and I'm only going to go based on what I've read about him and things that I've seen and people that have vouched for him that know him. He comes across as a pretty good guy in this sense. He's very philanthropic. Like I guess I don't know how he is personally as far as from a person-to-person basis, but I'm only going to go by what I see to the outside. He's very philanthropic. He's very charitable. He tends to care about the community that he's been in Cleveland and in Boston and Brooklyn. He's donated lots of money and lots of time. He's very charitable in that sense. And from all intents and purposes, he seems to be a pretty good person in that sense. The headache part is there are certain things and quirks about him that a lot of people would look at and say, wow, that's just too much of a distraction in certain areas.
Sean Black, professional, now we're talking about the professional type of way. Personally, he's good. He's a nice guy. We're talking about his professional side. That's what we're talking about right
and
now.
Professionally, he can be a headache. He took some time off months ago, before the season started, after he signed with the Nets. He took 9 or 10 months off after playing a couple of games, trying to get used to being part of the team. And the team didn't get that chance to bond with him because he took that time off. He was off, he came back, and then when he came back, he said he needed more time off when he got back as the season went along. So there was that mindset. But in response to what we're talking about here.
Plus, he still thinks the earth is flat. Don't forget that part.
Yeah, we can remember the flat earth comments that he made a couple of years ago. Okay. Now, in response to just this topic with as far as the vaccine, we've all talked about this before, where taking the vaccine – ultimately does have to be a personal choice in the sense that you're taking the vaccine to make sure that you are as safe for yourself and your family as humanly possible. That makes sense. You do your research, you talk to your doctor, your general practitioner, somebody a science, something, somebody that has an idea of what they're talking about, not right-wing people back and forth, not even you or me. I would rather somebody get their opinion from a doctor or somebody else in that sense. But here's the issue. He is part of a private organization, which is the NBA, which is public from when people go out there and spend money for their tickets to come and see you perform. They spend hundreds of dollars on tickets to be able to see you perform. You have TV contracts and you have TV networks trying to get to see the team play. It's mandated, even though people talk about all mandates and mandates, it's mandated for the most part by the NBA that certain you have to have a certain percentage of players vaccinated to be able to play on the court. And in the New York area, New York City, tri-state area, inside of a building where there's going to be more than a certain amount number of people involved there, you have to be vaccinated to be able to be part of your team, which is either practicing, playing, training, and you cannot do that if you are not fully vaccinated. And Kyrie Irving has stated he is not going to get vaccinated. That is his personal choice. The headache part of this is, while you can, as a teammate and as a friend, respect his decision, he's the only one on the team that is not doing what the team is doing. Everybody else on the Nets is vaccinated. All of the coaches that are there are vaccinated. All of the other people that work with the team are vaccinated, and he's the only one. So the question here becomes, they're trying to pay this guy all of this money that he's here to help bring a championship to a team. And in that sense, he's not thinking of the team first. He's thinking of himself.
So
it depends on what side of that argument you're looking at.
Well, I'm about to say, with that statement right there, you know what, let me throw this at Brother B, then Sean will continue. Brother B, with that statement that Sean just said, do you think Kyrie Irving is selfish on that part, or he's doing what's best for him?
I got a tremendous amount of love for you guys, but I will say this, that human being has no bearing on my existence in the universe. So I give no F's about him, and I don't even watch basketball like that, so I really don't care. But, yeah.
Oh! And Wednesday night is the opening night. Oh, that hurts. But go ahead.
I just don't see what relevance he has. Like, if that's his choice, that's his choice. Of course, I mean, they're under contract. There's certain things that you have to do. And once you sign the contract, hey, you have to do it. If not, you know, that's your ass. So, you know, you got to do your job. That's your job. You got to do it. If that's what your job called for, you got to do it, or you just don't play. That's it. I don't care how popular he is. Like I said, I don't really care who he is. But it doesn't matter to me. I mean,
but he's the type of guy.
He's what?
No, I was saying. No, he's the type of guy, and I was showing that he was vexed by this, how he said that he's a voice for the voiceless, that he speaks for the people. You know, he's against the mandate.
Man, sit your ass down and go play basketball. Shut up.
Exactly.
Like, listen, what voice is he standing up for? Who is he standing up for? He's not standing up for anybody. Listen, I hate when people have certain positions and that may be impressionable among certain, you know, chosen many or few. But yeah, I hate when people have certain positions and they turn around and they misconstrue or their whole situation. Like what are you doing? Like, no, listen, people ask you your opinion because you're in the spotlight. But the grand scheme of things, nobody really cares because life is going to go on anyway. So who are you talking for? He's not an advocate. He's not going out there speaking out. He's not doing seminars. He's not putting up posters. He's not an activist for it. So, like, what is he talking about? Like he's trying to...
Sean was talking about how people would listen to Kyrie Irving first before they listen to the doctors or listen to the professionals or the health experts on this matter, which is mind-boggling. How he's a voice of the voiceless. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Listen, if you're going to listen to somebody who plays basketball before you listen to a trained professional doctor, then maybe there's some things in your life that you need to go sit down and think about. Because I'm not listening to some dummy jackass in a little polyester suit, whatever, neoprene, whatever you want to call it. Listen, what do you do for a living? You play basketball? Okay. Did you go to school for like 10 years or whatever to become a doctor, to learn certain things? No. And even with the people that have this medical training, they're still baffled about how this virus moves and, you know, the whole thing with the vaccine. So who the hell are you to talk about your voice? What medical – like, it's disrespectful to the people who actually go out there and do that line of work. Man, go dribble the ball and shut the hell up. Shut up. I just don't like people like that. Like, don't say that you represent people or you're representing something and you're not really doing it. Stop it.
And that's why we brought up this topic, because before I get to you, Sean Black, he's pretending, speaking for the people. Like, I never lie. I never stole everybody's business like that. I never lie to this panel or to our three listeners out there. I'm vaccinated, most likely, because I knew, and we discussed about this in the beginning, how the job cuts going to make it mandatory. And I did it to get out the way, because I knew, sooner or later, my job will make it mandatory, and which they did a month or two ago. I did for that reason, because why? Unlike Kyrie Irving, I have a family to feed. I got to put food on the table for Sean Black to feed. You know, without a job, I cannot work. So I did it to get – But that's one of the reasons why I really got vaccinated, because I need to support my family, you know. Unlike Kyrie Irving, he could miss games, he could miss the season, and he still got millions of dollars in the bank. So how can he speak for me if he don't know what I'm going through right now? Well, go ahead, Sean Black, then I give it to K-Dog.
Yeah, and I think the higher issue with this discussion, especially in reference to Kyrie Irving, even for people like Brother B, who doesn't really look at basketball or even care about who he is as a person or whatever the case, the bigger argument here is the message that's being sent, that we know that this vaccine is going to help quell a lot of the infection, which is what it has done in a lot of instances. What the issue is now is that he comes across as most people will look at Kyrie and say that he may be aloof, that he has his own mindset as far as what is he doing. He's different from others, and he has that mentality that Kyrie is going to do what Kyrie is going to do. Now, like I said before, if everyone else in the league is getting vaccinated, obviously there are a couple of players here and there on other teams that have, for whatever the reasoning is, haven't gotten the vaccine. We know that there are players that have gone through the COVID ringer. There's a player in the NBA who lost a lot of family members due to COVID just last year. I believe it's Carl Anthony Towns, if I'm not mistaken. I hope that there were a lot of people have lost a lot of friends and have lost family members due to this disease. And knowing that if you were able to get that vaccine and to at least have a fighting chance against it, then that would be something that a lot of people would do. But as we said before, there's been a lot of consternation and a lot of backlash to people that have either on either side, whether you are going to be vaccinated because you believe in the science and you believe in getting control of this, or you're on the other side of it. If you're an athlete, there is that responsibility knowing that as long as you're not preaching something that could be detrimental to getting people on the right side of this virus, you have the, I guess you can say you've got the freedom of choice. And we talked about this about, was it 2 weeks ago? The last show that we did about LeBron James, saying that it's not his job to educate or advocate for people taking the vaccine, but yet LeBron James made it a point over the last decade or so to be very, very visible and audible when it comes to social justice and doing the right things for people, children, African Americans, racism, those kinds of things. So when you're an athlete and you're in the public eye.
I think that's a little different. Like social justice compared to you making a decision on something going on with your life or your health, that's different. Like Kyrie Irving's publicity stunt shouldn't cost people their lives.
Oh, you know, I understand. Yeah, you're right about that. And, K-Dog?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. Sorry, brother B, I took a line from you, brother.
No, I'm sorry, I took it from Sean. I'm sorry.
Man, but on the serious tip about Kyrie Irving is taking a stand. I think it's his way of saying, listen, you're not going to force me to do something that I don't feel comfortable with, that I don't know anything about this vaccine, because just like him, and Hot Rod, I heard you earlier, just like him, I had my questions about the vaccine, but I had no choice but to take the vaccine because my job demanded me to take it. It was either I do that or I end up on the unemployment line. And I was like, I think I better do this. But however,
is it sad that it comes down to that? Yes. But
yes, it has. It is what it is. But also, what it is that with Kyrie Irving, is he basically, you know, for all of us who watch sports, I'm going to say this. Kyrie Irving was in the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant is, but that's another story for another time. But
I'm sorry, Kato. It was Kyrie Irving who created the Brooklyn Nets today. He was the first online, and he created that. He turned that into a super team, and that's the problem.
True, he did.
He's supposed to be the leader.
Right, with him and Kevin Durant.
Irving is leaving his teammates behind.
I will agree that is true. Sorry, you know, bad choice of words. But however, Kyrie Irving is he holding up the team? Yes, but at the same time, you have to look at how he's feeling as a person, you know, as someone who's looking outside. Because I had the discussion not too long ago with my coworkers, and they all said the same thing. They're like, listen, forcing people to take the vaccine. I've never seen anything like this when it comes to an illness, that people are forcing people to take the vaccine because of money. But however, Kyrie Irving is taking a stand like, you know what? I'm not going to do anything that I don't feel comfortable with. And this is something that it's up to Kyrie whether he takes it or whether he chooses not to take it. But however, is he going to feel the pinch from the NBA? Yes. Is it going to affect the team? Yes. That he's not playing.
Okay. So, before I move on to the next topic, do you think Kyrie Irving is selfish on his part as not being a team player or a good leader for basically speaking against
leader.
The vaccine?
Leader?
He's speaking... Well, he's not, you know, again, he's not a leader, but however, did he change his team? Yes, but he's not a leader. However, do I think he's selfish? He's not selfish. He is looking at it as I'm sure a lot of people have looked at it the same way. Like, should I take this or should I not? You understand? That's okay. How he's looking at it as. But at the same time, it is affecting his team. It's going to affect his team when the season starts. His team will be affected.
And Sean,
yes.
And Sean, like, anything else you'd like to add on before we move on?
The only thing that I will say as far as when people actually look at the vaccine hesitancy, which is, we all know about the history of African Americans and all of the stuff that has happened to them over the years when it comes to the government and medicine and vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. This is not that. For all of the stuff that we talk about, we know that before you can, when you're brought into this world, usually within the first month or so, you're vaccinated. Before you can go to school, you're vaccinated. Before you can go to high school, you're vaccinated. Before you can go to college, you're getting booster shots. Sometimes before you even get a normal, regular, everyday job, you got to make sure that those shots are up. The same level of hesitancy, if it was around for all of these years, we would still have polio around. We would still have rubella around. We would still see mumps and a lot of these other diseases that are literally eradicated. And, of course, when you do these vaccines and it takes time to get certain diseases under control to the extent where they don't replicate and mutate, but the hesitancy has allowed a lot of these viruses to mutate, and that's where we've gotten the Delta variant. And I would not be surprised if there would be other variants down the road because of this, the amount of hesitancy that has happened in this country. So I think
and Sean, I will say this, excuse me, if there will be a lot of hesitancy. There's going to be a lot of resistance about the vaccine because, you know, not everybody, not the whole population is vaccinated. Not everybody is vaccinated.
I think it's more than hesitancy. I think it's the fact that, first of all, they're not telling the truth. Second of all, they're not even fully sure about what's going on, which if you're confused, if you're the doctor and you're confused, why would I want you to do anything for me if you're confused?
Exactly.
And another thing is, and the third thing is that people just give a damn about their lives. And fourth, no one wants to feel like this. And people don't want to feel like they're being controlled. And that's what it is. It's sad when it's no different me putting a barrel of my gun, putting a gun to Hot Rod's head and says your money or your life. Because basically, that's exactly what's being said.
Exactly.
Your money or your life.
My last point on this is that for all of those that think that all of the stuff that's going on right now is, you know, what you said, that being forced, et cetera, et cetera. The residual damage of all of this hesitancy and all of this anger from a lot of the anti-vaxxers, et cetera, I saw on the news just last week that there were people petitioning outside of hospitals calling doctors and nurses murderers. The same nurses that were helping these people that were in the hospital just last year that were making sure that they could try and take care of them that were ravaged with COVID, now they're accusing those same nurses and doctors of being murderers. That's the danger that's been going on with all of the stuff that's being spread. So that's one of the things that has to be looked at and taken care of as we go forward. And then we hear things like of this nature, people saying, well, this virus the government is trying to put microchips in my brain. Get your information and research from reputable sources and not social media and the internet. That's all.
Okay. Now, before I move on, this person loves to control me all the time. And she always put a gun to my head, either take me or leave me. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Big Red. Anything you'd like to add on before we move to the next
one? Oh, man.
Lord.
Goodness gracious. There goes the neighborhood, y'all.
Exactly. I'm moving out.
There goes the neighborhood.
Listen, y'all better behave yourselves. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning to everyone. I am on here to bless everybody with my beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Well, once again, as I said before, I feel this thing is with the vaccination. Like I said, it's a human rights thing. I don't think people should be forced to put something into their body that they don't, you know, they don't trust. You shouldn't be forced to do that. And then you're making it hard for, you know, just to live an everyday life now. Now you want to, you know, my thing is you want to stop people from coming into restaurants and gyms and, you know, whatever else that they can go to. You don't want them, you know, they can't come in unless they show a vaccination card. You might as well go back to back in the day and say, okay, well, because you're black, you can't come into this establishment. You might as well start doing that. Okay, well, because you're, you know, whatever.
You never know. Okay, now on to
the
I'm assuming that most of us saw the special, the Netflix special, Dave Chappelle, The Closer, and I was talking with Brother B, but he's the biggest homophobic on this panel. So, Brother B, do you saw the Netflix special, and what do you think of Dave Chappelle? Did he speak the truth, or he bend the truth a little bit, or
I don't think it has anything to do with truth. It's just one man's opinion and feeling. I think the problem is people hear but they don't listen to what's being said. Mm-hmm. Because people always want, like, there are certain groups of people that want people to sympathize with them and, you know, whatever they're going through. Listen, let me tell you something. You put yourself through your own shit. Don't put that on me. If you want to change what you're doing with your life, that's on you. That don't have nothing to do with me. If I want to eat tuna fish and you want to eat steak, that's your business. Now, if my tuna fish look better than your steak, that's just your problem. You ordered steak, eat your goddamn steak. Like, that's just that. I don't know why you want to force your issues on me. If you're not happy, just like with the whole statement, oh, I'm coming out of the closet. Coming out of the closet. What were you in the closet for? What were you in the closet for? Like, what were you hiding for? You chose to hide. You chose to do whatever you did with yourself. Then, if that's what you chose to do, then believe in your choice and move on with your life. Don't get mad because this one person was cracking some jokes. Because, like he said, it was all right. And he gratuitously threw out the N-word throughout that whole show. And everybody laughed, and nobody had a problem with that. But as soon as he says something that goes against someone's beliefs, then he became a problem. As soon as he said the word Jew something, people got quiet. He didn't say anything offensive, but people got quiet. I don't hear the Jews saying anything because he didn't say anything offensive. So what did he really say that was offending somebody? He just said something that you opposite of what you believe in. That's why people are offended. You don't believe me, I don't like you. Okay, no problem. You don't have to like me.
But unfortunately, when you say something about a group, a race, a gender, a sex, you crack up a joke or you say anything negative, you're wrong. You're not entitled to that.
They've been saying stuff about Negroes. They've been saying stuff about Negroes and black people. Black people and women and black men. They've been saying stuff for years. And listen, now we just take it like a little knock on the chin. But everybody else want to be all sensitive about their situation. Come on, stop it. Until, listen, when they start butt-breaking your ass and start shooting your kids and doing all this other shit, or you just being hurt because of your color, then come talk to us. Then come look for some sympathy. Other than that, I don't want to hear it, man. I don't want to hear it. You made your choice, now live with it.
Exactly.
Okay,
absolutely.
Big Red.
Exactly.
Well, how do you feel about the – do you think he went too much on the transgender topic overall?
No, absolutely not. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that he, he's saying what he has to say. He's being real. Once again, everybody's on this. What's this been since what the 2000s? Oh, keep it real. Okay, well, what is he doing? That's exactly what he's doing. He's keeping it real. So I don't understand what the problem. Like I said, they have a problem, which is the LGBTQ. You know, can't say all the letters, but whatever. They have a problem with him. And that's fine, but at the end of the day, my thing is this, and especially when I was listening to it and he, especially the story that he told at the end about his friend that basically killed us. So my thing is, you guys are talking about y'all don't want to be bullied, and you don't want to be hurt, and you don't want to be this, but guess what? You bully one of your own. How you going to bully one of your own and then look at the result? Now, that might have been just the kicker that made her do that. She might have been already having those feelings and, you know, already, you know, had something going on and didn't want to tell, you know, Dave Chappelle what was going on. But then guess what? Look what happened. Mm-hmm. And they're the first ones talking, oh, we're being bullied. Oh, we're being this and we're being that.
But real quick, man, if I may interject, he was bullied by his own because she took up for his friend.
Right, she took up for life. Exactly. Yes. Absolutely.
So that's how malicious you are. That's how malicious the gang is.
They are they're a gang. Exactly. That's like being a gang because they're even like that. They're even like that even with what's her name? Beyonce. If you say anything against Beyonce, that they're the ones that get on the LGBT. They're the ones that get on you about that. If you say anything against her, it don't be really the straight women or men or whatever it is. It's the LGBTQ people. They're the ones that get on you about that. So it's just like. You know, it's like you're making it okay, like, okay, we can bully y'all, but y'all can't do nothing else. No, that's not how that works.
It's a double standard.
At the end of the day, he didn't say anything wrong. Right, he didn't say anything wrong. He's keeping it real, and he's saying what you know, he's speaking facts. Everything he was saying was speaking facts, and they just don't like it. That's the business.
But there's one part in the thing that he said, and gender, or the gay community, or the AYZ, LGB, whatever, we are actually jealous of the gay community, of the transgender community. Black people are jealous because we've been fighting for over 400 years, and we never received that same power or respect that the transgenders are getting right now. So the little jokes that he's doing is nothing compared to what we want, compared to what we went through all our lives, and we're still going through it.
Absolutely.
So you have the three transgender people at the Netflix office go inside, make it going buck wild, get upset with Netflix because they broadcast the thing. That's power. How many times us people want to go to the office and tell them to stop playing Love and Hip Hop, stop playing Little Housewives of crap, that, you know, the degrading woman, black woman,
right,
making them
look
angry. You know, what is that? We pick
and how about that's the problem?
That's the problem.
And how about that's the thing, the trend, it's not even, you know what's so funny, what I had to explain to my friends, it's not even the lesbians, it's not the bisexual, it's not, you know, it's the transgenders that are having the issue. They're the only ones that are making a big issue about everything. And I don't understand why.
You know what it is? Wait, I'm going to say this. It's like, sorry for interrupting. Listen, in the history of comedy, we all have heard every comedian who's made jokes on race, like race and gender. Okay, take a look at it. Okay, how many times did Richard Pryor use the N-word? He used it many times in his stand-up. Eddie Murphy made gay jokes. He didn't do it one time. He did it many times in both Delirious and in Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So... you see, and there was no one. There was more controversial comedians like George Carlin.
George Carlin.
Right. George Carlin made a lot of jokes that made a lot of people upset, especially when he made jokes about religion. So, Dave Chappelle talks about transgender. What is the big deal? Everyone, listen. He's a comedian. Of course he's going to say something, you know, but then after you have people right now, and like I said, we live in a very sensitive era. I don't understand that.
K-Dog, you just asked me your question. This is a sensitive era. Dave Chappelle did something that most comedians have not done in a very long time. So you
exactly.
can say that he
They've
broke
done
the barrier. He spoke the truth. But I think it's Sean Black now. But, you know, he's very sensitive. So go ahead, Sean Black.
I will say this about comedy, and this is something that I've always – one of the reasons why it's one of my favorite mediums is the fact that comedy, true stand-up comedy, it's usually a microcosm and a reflection, almost like a mirror of what's going on in society.
Exactly.
Like you talked about with Lenny Bruce and George Carlin and Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor.
Dick Gregory.
The multitude of comics that we've seen and talked about over the years. They talk about what they've experienced, what they've seen, observations. And the audience is usually reflective of the experiences that they are describing, because you will notice it from either the laughter or the groans. They will let you know what works. And in a lot of instances, a lot of comedians are cathartically living their lives and letting it out and letting the audience in on, quote unquote, the joke. In the last, I would say the last 40 or so years, we've seen more comedians impart more consciousness to their sets, to their routines. And a lot of the time, it's like any other medium or any other art form. You're going to talk about your own life lived experiences and use that craft. And if it's an observation, if it's something that you see, that you notice, you're going to bring it up. Now, as far as what we've talked about before here, and Big Red talked about it as well, rather eloquently, is the fact that you said that a lot of people that are offended, the ones that come down the hardest are the ones that are within that own community. You will hear black people come down hardest on their own. You will hear Hispanics come down hardest on their own. And in the LGBTQ community and in the trans community, they will come down harder on their own. And what Dave Chappelle was really trying to get at was that just because of who the transgender person was, and I believe her name was Daphne, because of who she was, wanting to be a stand-up comedian and not necessarily being offended by the jokes that Dave Chappelle brought out, and because she stood up for him, the trans community came after her to the extent of days afterwards, she ended up killing herself. And that's where Dave Chappelle took umbrage in what was going on, in the fact that because of that, the trans community came after somebody and literally bullied her into the mindset that she was already in. And I think that a lot of people just don't understand the mindset that goes into that based on all of the things that are going on. I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, if you live that life, you have to deal with the consequences or anything along those lines. But I think that there are people that are not as sensitive to what the material is and can take certain things out of context based on the fact that they either don't understand the context of the comedy or of the subject, or they just don't care what the subject matter is. And I think this is where we're starting to see a lot of that backlash.
But, Sean Black, I think another problem is that, once again, you make one little crack of jokes on transgender, they all get riled up and start fighting, and they're band together. So why can't us black people, when that happens to us, why we not get together the same way and fight the quote-unquote the power? For three transgenders to march into the office in Netflix, that's a lot of power. Because that's something you and I wouldn't think about to do it for a long time.
That's right.
We're scared.
You know why? Because they're scared. Because they're scared of the money that they're going to lose. They're scared if they don't abide by, and you know, it's a scary thing, as you said. It, to me, Hot Rod, that's scary, because just like you said, three transgenders coming to the office and say, oh, I don't like what happened and this, that, and the other, and you get, it's like they get shook.
They but know like, their power.
Right, they know their power. So they know if you go against, they know. Right, they know if we go against, if y'all go against us, we gonna get all the whole. We gonna get everybody on y'all. Guess what? We can shut Netflix down. Now, how the hell y'all can get Netflix shut down? But just as Hot Rod said, but with something with black people or something with the N word and all that other stuff, we can't seem to do anything for ourselves. I don't understand that.
Exactly, because you know what?
We don't have that unity. We don't have a
united
unity.
Front.
Guys,
a very
yeah,
strong
we
united
don't
front.
Power.
But
we
guys,
have a very
overall,
strong
how many
united
times
front.
As black people, how many times as black people, especially black women, go to an office demanding for a raise in work? Instead of a raise in work, they get a work. They get their work risen. They get more workers.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of more pay. You know,
mm-hmm.
But a transgender walk in the office and use the word, I will sue you because you're sexist or biased towards me, guaranteed they will get a raise right away.
Because they're
right.
afraid of the word discrimination. Discrimination lawsuits are big.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to, they don't want their dirty laundry aired and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be brought.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, what Dave Chappelle did was basically call them out. They want to
mm-hmm.
call him homophobic, transphobic, but yet he had a good friend. Yeah, he had a
mm-hmm.
good friend that he took under his wing that was transgender. And someone that defended him. He outed them. This is how you treat your own. And they didn't like
yep.
it. They still
exactly.
don't like it.
Yeah.
Because
so,
he blew their spot. He blew their spot. So you're not as unified as you claim you are, because
mm-hmm.
here you have one of your own taken up for me, and what did you push this person to do?
Yep, exactly.
And
I
actually like
saw,
the fact
you
that
actually,
he called them on it. He called them on their shit.
I actually saw a video online that of a transgender woman that was in lockstep in agreement with a lot of the points that we brought up, is the fact that there was no reason for the trans community to come out the way that they did. And she said it was really sad to see this happen based on the result. And that's where a lot of people from within the community have a problem with people within their community that have that kind of power to use the quote-unquote bully pulpit, potentially, and
mm-hmm.
say certain things
mm-hmm.
online through social media, and it can actually affect people in a way that they're not anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing I'd like to add on. It's funny when you watch a special, you laugh and you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And when he threw you that curveball about his friend killing herself, I'm sorry, you couldn't help yourself like, holy crap. Wow. You know, the reaction,
right.
It was like a 360, you know, and he used that at the end, and that, I believe that was a great way to end the show, you know.
Yeah.
How you call them out, like, once again, you call, you know, you bash me, you know, you banish me and all that stuff. And look what he did to one of your own. I think
your own.
And then he also stated that he would never do another another joke about the LGBTQ community until they can get that kind of thing figured out. And he said that literally at the end of the show.
Yep.
True, but guess what? Don't be surprised if he does make jokes next year, but something got to happen. You know, something will happen.
Yeah.
Okay, with two minutes left, you know what? I give this to you, K-Dog. But with your Haitians, are basically gang members right now.
Kidnapped
17 Americans. What's up with that?
Oh, Lord.
The problem with in Haiti, and I'm going to make this quick, there's been a lot of gang violence over there, and it is getting out of control. And it has worsened after the assassination of President Moïse. It's gotten a whole lot worse. It's going crazy with kidnapping.
Wow.
When Haitian guy spoke, I have a resource from Haiti who said, man, listen, every day there's at least 10 people being kidnapped by armed thugs. He's like, it is serious out there.
Mm.
Yeah, but you guys are going after the Americans now. White?
Yeah, they're going after, and that's a big mistake.
But
wait a minute.
Can I ask a question?
Haiti's supposed to be such this poor country, as they say. Where they getting these guns and ammo from?
You know what it is? That's what everybody's asking. Because a lot of the gangs over there, they are heavily armed. And I'm not talking about 9mm. I'm talking about AK-47.
Well, listen, I can't get ammo over here. So what are you talking about? How are they getting ammo?
Brother B.
They're getting ammo from somewhere.
Ammo?
It's over here, man.
Brother B. You need ammo? You need weapons? Talk to Sean Black. He knows somebody to handle that type of business. Bottom that guy.
Right. My goodness. Miz
blew you up.
Sean blew you up. Sean Black, Big Red, Brother B, and K-Ball, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Stay safe. Tune in tomorrow night to the menu, 9 o'clock, with Brother B and Big Red, where they talk about.
Is it
going to
be fire tomorrow? Oh. It's going to be on fire tomorrow.
Yes, it
oh,
is.
Yeah.
It's going to be fire.
How do you heal from your trauma?
How you heal from your trauma? Wow.
Yep.
You know what?
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? Only Big Red and I could talk about that stuff, Jim, because, you know, she always breaking my heart. But besides that,
I'm always traumatizing you. That's
all
what
the
I
time,
do.
Baby. All the time. Take care, guys. Good night.
All right, good night.
Good night,
y'all.
Good night.
Later. Later.